Let's pray and we'll get into our text this morning. Dear God, I thank you for this time together. Lord, I ask your blessing on each person here. Lord, we all have burdens. We all have struggles. I just pray that we would find comfort in you, encouragement in you. Lord, help us to reflect the mercy and grace and the kindness that you have poured into us, to those around us. I pray that you will enable us to live really beyond ourselves through the power of your Holy Spirit. We just ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. If I ask you this morning, is our world kind? I suspect that some might say yes, but I would suspect most would say no. There might be examples of bullying or just difficulties that you face, difficult bosses, whatever. Kindness is a precious commodity. I was reading about a lonely man who went to a restaurant and the waitress came up and said, "What would you like?" And he said, "Well, I like the lasagna." And he said, "And I'd like a few kind words." And so she left and she went and got the lasagna, and then she showed up a few minutes later and gave him the lasagna and started to leave. And he said, "Well, what about the kind words?" And she kind of looked around, leaned down, whispered into his ear and said, "Don't eat the lasagna." Those were those were her kind words. You know, when you look at why people don't like their jobs, in one survey it said number one was failure to give credit for suggestions, failure to correct grievances, failure to encourage, criticizing employees in front of other people. And when you look at those issues and others that people say what they don't like about their jobs or their workplace, most of those are kindness issues. And I think most of us have faced or even been the ones who have not been kind to those around us. See, we have a tendency in our selfishness and with the sin nature that we're born with to be a "here am I" person. We walk into a room and life and the movie that is our life is about us. And we really need to be a "there you are" person, to be a God-centered person. And that's part of kindness. And so I want to look at our text that we've been looking at for weeks now, and we were kind of moving through the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23 simply says this. And so these are what should naturally come out of our lives when the Holy Spirit is dwelling within us. I think we all acknowledge that there are certainly areas where we can grow. We might be doing well in this one, but struggling over here. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, and today's is kindness. And that's what we're going to talk about. We see in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, which is the famous love chapter that you probably heard read at weddings. It says this of love, that love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. You see, when we are Christians, the nature of God begins to manifest itself in our lives and in our hearts. And kindness is basically being gracious, decent, active in meeting other people's needs with a humble demonstration of God's love. And kindness, if you're looking for kind of the first idea, is this, that kindness comes from the very heart of God. That is a part of who he is and what he offers to each of us every day, really. Ephesians 2:7 says, "In order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in the kindness to us in Christ Jesus." See, Jesus is God in the flesh. Jesus came and took on human form and lived life on our terms. And we see in him a kindness and a compassion to every person. In Romans 2:4 it says, "Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance?" We will answer to God someday, but it's, in a sense, he leads with kindness. I mean, he is gracious to us with the food he provides, with the health that many of us have, that he puts us in families, just all the many ways that he gives us blessings, that he gives us the opportunity of salvation, that he pursues us and wants a relationship with us. And it's remarkable. I was reading about a father and a son, and the dad's name was Joe and the son's name was Jared. And they're playing catch out in the yard. And the son, Jared, says to his father, he says, "Dad, is there a God?" And dad believed there was a God, but he certainly wasn't really training his son in that. He certainly wasn't really living that out. And he said, well, I think there is a God. And his son went and ran into the house. They'd just been to a festival, and he'd gotten a helium balloon. And he went and got this helium balloon, and he wrote a note and taped it on the string from the balloon. And it simply said this: God, if you are real, send people who know you to Dad and me. And then he let that go. And that was Jared's prayer, is that he wanted to meet people who knew God. Now, what was interesting is 2 days later, they're in the car together, and there's just a bunch of people, and it says free car wash. This was in Cincinnati, Ohio. And they pull into the car wash, and it was a group of Christians who were just serving their community, and they were washing cars just as a gift of kindness, just as an act of kindness. And so when they pull up, they explain, hey, we're just doing this, and because he's trying to pay him, and said, no, we just want you to experience a little bit of God's love and kindness, and it's just a gift from us to you. And they were so excited because they believed that God had answered their prayer. One of kind of the funny questions was the kid asked one of the workers, said, so are you Christians? Are you those Christians that believe in God? Which is kind of a funny thing. But anyway, and they said, yes, we believe in God. And so they saw God pursuing them. They saw God answering prayers, showing kindness to them. See, kindness is about loving people practically and intentionally. Mother Teresa once said, who truly lived out loving people in practical ways, we can do no great things, she said, only small things with great love. And so don't always worry about, well, I want to do some great big thing for God. Just practice kindness in your workplace and in your family and with your neighbors. See, there is real power in kindness, and it's really a remarkable power that kindness has. It's disarming, and literally, sometimes kindness can actually save lives. It can change people. There's an Old Testament story where David was running for his life from King Saul. See, David had been anointed. He's going to be the second king. Well, the first king was unhappy about a second king being anointed, and so he chased David for years. And David did very well. There were moments when he had the opportunity where he could have killed Saul, the first king, and David showed him kindness and mercy and grace and did not kill this one who chased him all over the country. But there was a low point in David's life where he really was struggling and frustrated. And he had watched this man Nabal's sheep and flocks for a long period of time. He had kind of protected them out in the wilderness. And so he came, and this was a cultural thing, and he came and basically asked for hospitality from Nabal. And David sent messengers. He didn't go himself. And so Nabal was a very surly man, very angry person, and he basically just insulted David, just slammed David. And David had kind of had enough. He'd been taking, he felt like he'd been turning the other cheek from Saul for a long time, and he had enough. And so basically he and his soldiers put on their swords and grabbed their weapons, and they're heading, and they're going to wipe out Nabal and his family. Well, Abigail, Nabal's wife, heard about how her husband had acted and how, he'd basically been just incredibly rude and a beast, and thought, this is not going to end well. And so she went and put together, she's like the ultimate caterer, and put together this huge meal and got it together with her servants and rode out and caught David on the way, him and his soldiers, to their household. And she offered them just this act of kindness, just was respectful to him and offered him food and treated him the way that her husband should have responded. And because of that, she spared her entire household. And David walked away from that and did not hurt anyone or anything. And so she did a great service, not only for her family, but for David. Now, for those that, kind of like revenge, it's interesting that very quickly God kills Nabal. He drops dead, and I'm sure that warmed David's heart, at least the side that, is kind of that negative, side that some of us have. But and he ends up marrying Abigail. So it's an interesting story, but it's a story of how kindness saved the lives of an entire household. I was reading about Nicky Cruz, who was a, drug-addicted gang leader in New York City years ago, and he was he confronted a guy named David Wilkerson, who was a Christian leader who worked with gang members. And he basically warned him, stay away, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to hurt you. And David Wilkerson just kept coming around and kept saying, you know, you can cut me in 1,000 pieces, but I will still love you. I will still care about you. I'll still show kindness to you. And he ends up winning Nicky Cruz to Christ, and he's become a Christian leader, an author, and a speaker and minister. And it's remarkable the power that kindness can have in our lives and the difference that it can make. And I think most of us have examples where we look back in our lives where we see where the absence of kindness hurt us deeply, and the presence of kindness warmed us and helped us and made our lives better. Maybe it's been the kindness of someone in the church. Maybe it's been a neighbor. Maybe it's been a boss who really took you under his wing. Kindness is a powerful force, and it's something that we really can share and should share and should bubble up out of us as followers of Christ. Now, we also have to offer ourselves kindness, because some of us would never say things to others that we say to ourselves in our self-talk. And I think this is something that we need to grab hold of, because it's interesting, you know, if you make a mistake or you mess up, I will be very easy on someone out here, but if I do it, if I don't watch myself, I can kind of cycle through, boy, that was a stupid thing to do. That was a stupid decision for days. And you have to kind of shut that down and offer yourself the grace that God offers you and what you're supposed to offer other people. And so some of you today, one of the big takeaways for you is to offer yourself kindness, because there are some acts that you have done, some decisions that you have made that you need to forgive yourself and to move forward. Kindness can actually bring healing to people. I was reading about a woman, a young woman, Casey is her name, and she survived the terrible shootings at Columbine that you remember years ago that happened in Colorado. And she survived that, and she said one of the most powerful and profound impacts on her was just the kindness of others in that community. Because she stayed there, there were so many who had been impacted by that strangers would stop her in the store because they saw, you know, she was of the right age and she was wounded. She had her arm in a sling, and because she had been shot, she just survived. And people would pray with her in public settings. People were just incredibly compassionate and kind, and she said it made a huge difference. It's interesting, even in secular society, there is now kind of a movement of random acts of kindness. There is real power in kindness, and it can heal people. It can help with emotional healing and in other ways. I was reading the social scientists talk about the power of kindness. In a University of Michigan study, they found that older Americans who support others through volunteer work or simply by being a good friend and neighbor, that they had a 60% lower rate of premature death than unhelpful peers of their age group. I thought that was interesting. There's like physical benefits to living a life of kindness and grace and servanthood. And so it's a powerful thing that we see. I was reading about Jeff and Christy Leland, who their little boy Michael had only weeks to live. And he needed a bone marrow transplant, and their health insurance company wasn't going to pay it. And so it was like $200,000 surgery. And so one of the little boys, Jeff was a teacher in a school, and one of the boys in his school brought $60, and they started a fund there at the school. And kids at the school all gave money, families gave money, the community got behind it. And within a short period of time, $227,000 was donated so that this boy, Michael, could have bone marrow transplant, and it saved his life. And what's been fascinating is how it's kind of been paid it forward, to use that phrase, where they actually were so moved by this that the family started a nonprofit that they call Sparrow Clubs, that they reach out to other people in a similar situation. And that nonprofit has raised over several years $2.5 million from, you know, children's generosity and their family's generosity to help those who are struggling. And that is just a practical outpouring of kindness being unleashed. And kindness can also unleash calling. You know, a kind word at just the right time can make a huge difference. Many of you might have examples of that where you're in the career you're in because a youth leader or a parent or someone gave a kind word about your abilities and the direction that you were going. John Trent talks about when he was a kid that he was in junior high, I believe, and he had a paper due, and it was a big term paper. It was a pretty long one, and he waited till the night before to write the term paper, and I'm sure none of us have ever done such a thing, but anyway, that's what he did, and he felt like he did a really good job considering it was the night before. Thought he worked really hard on it. He was up most of the night and felt like it went really well. Well, he got it back, and he got an F on it. And it was mostly technical things. It wasn't the content of the paper. It wasn't the writing. It was all these technical things. He didn't have a table of contents, and he didn't have all this. And it was interesting. His mother looked at this paper that was an F, and, you know, many of us are parents, and your first instinct is, you know, what happened? Why'd you wait? And really focus on that. And what she decided was she went a different route. She said, well, she said, I'm looking at this. She read the whole paper, and she said, I see you didn't have any footnotes, and you were supposed to. And she said, I see you didn't have a table of contents. And she kind of rattled off several of the things that caused the bad grade. But she said, I read this paper, and she said, it really is good overall. And she said, I would not be surprised if someday you don't help people with your words. And John Trent is a name a few of you might recognize. He is a Christian author and speaker today who's helped many people. And he traces that back, that unleashing of his calling, what God designed him to do, back to just some encouraging words, some simple kindness from his mother. Now, if we're going to be people of kindness, we need to plant kindness. And the beauty of it is that often when we plant kindness, we will reap kindness. Now, we don't always immediately get it back. You try to be kind, and sometimes it doesn't come back, but often it does. And so you see it show up in interesting and surprising ways. I was reading about supermodel and businesswoman Kathy Ireland, and she'd become a Christian, and she's gone into business and has like this clothing line. And they approached her about doing a public service announcement about the importance of prenatal care. And so she said, sure, I'll do that for free. Happy to do it. She said, but I want to make sure that you do, that I do the same announcement in Spanish. Her husband worked in an emergency room, and he'd gotten to know the Latino community a little better than she had. And she said, you know, they need this information as well that's in this particular public service announcement. And so they said, sure, you know, if you'll lend your name to this and do it, we'll shoot a Spanish version as well. And so she did that, and she was just trying to do the right thing and be helpful because she felt like this group of folks needed this information as well. And what she didn't expect was that the Latino community responded so well from this that her clothing sales started skyrocketing because they really liked her and appreciated that she did something kind to them. And so it's just kind of interesting how often when we sow kindness, we reap kindness. Now, it's not always true, but it's often true. Or I was reading about a guy named Ernest Hamwai, and he was selling these very thin Persian waffles back at the 1904 World Fair. And he noticed that nearby there was an ice cream vendor who ran out of bowls. And so he's, you know, selling these waffles. And, you know, this is his competitor. So he's probably part of him thinking, well, oh, he ran out of bowls. Good. That means more people will not buy ice cream, but they'll come try my unique thin waffle. But instead he felt sorry for the guy. He thought, well, I'll just, you know, be kind. And so he went over and he said, let's try something. And so he rolled up his very thin Persian waffle and plopped an ice cream scoop on it. And these are supposedly the very first ice cream cones, and they just sold like crazy. And both these men became very wealthy because this particular vendor was willing to be kind to a competitor. Some would even view a competitor as an enemy, but he didn't look at him that way. And so kindness is important. If you plant kindness, you reap kindness. Now, I will tell you that kindness can look a little different with different people. I think that humor plays a part here when it comes to kindness. I think, sometimes gender can play a part. You know, I think it's interesting what guys will say to each other that women typically won't. you know, Brian Schmidt here at church had back surgery, and so some people were passing around a get well card, and, you know, most wrote things like, you know, praying for your recovery and all that. Well, one man wrote, suck it up, buttercup, and I laughed because I was sitting in the hospital, and, you know, gave him this card from folks, and he's reading through, you know, and he's smiling, he's pleased, he's appreciating the kindness of people thinking of him, but that's the one that he laughed out loud, you know. And so that's not maybe your traditional kindness, but in certain relationships, suck it up, buttercup is appropriate. So we need to understand that we plant kindness, we receive kindness, usually. Not always, but usually. It's like sowing anything. You know, if you plant weeds, you're going to get weeds. If you plant a certain crop, you know, corn, you get corn. And so normally that's how it plays out. And so we want to be a person that practices kindness. And it's good to ask ourselves, is kindness a habit that we have? And it's going to be a challenge at times. I think one of the things that keeps us from being kind is the busyness of life, where an idea pops into your mind, but you're like, well, I don't have time to do that. Going all the way back to Socrates, he said, beware of the barrenness of a busy life. Beware of the barrenness of a busy life. Often if we will slow down, the Holy Spirit will put some ideas in our minds on how we can be kind to others, how we can be helpful in that way. And I think we need to go beyond what the average person does. The average person will be kind to those, say, above them, a boss, someone they think can help them. But they won't necessarily be kind to a person that they view as cannot help them, that they're not going to meet again. And being kind to the difficult is hard. There are times that we have to turn the other cheek. Maybe you get an angry or critical email. And your first instinct or text message, your first instinct is to respond in anger. Well, the kind response, at the very least, is to not respond in anger. Just take some time to think about it and maybe not respond at all. Or maybe circle back at some point and try to wade into it. But to try to be a person of kindness, not a person of anger and harshness. Because that's kind of the world we live in, is what we see often. In Luke 15:2, we read about Jesus and the criticisms of Jesus, because he was criticized just like we are usually. But the Pharisees and teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. You see, what they were seeing in Jesus, and they didn't like it, was that Jesus looked at those folks that society marginalized. The tax collectors, they were turncoats, the prostitutes, those that were marginalized, and Jesus was kind to them. Jesus offered them fellowship, and they didn't do that, and they didn't like that about Jesus. And so that's one of the things I appreciate here, is that we have folks that volunteer their time and work with those who have drug and alcohol addictions, and that's, you know, that's a good group of people that, you know, come to our Sunday night service. We have a small team that goes into the halfway house every Wednesday night and works with folks that maybe have been kind of cut off from family and friends, and society marginalizes. And so we want to look and try to be people that plant this kindness in life all around us. I was reading about a warden of the Sing Sing prison back in 1921. His name was Lewis, and he took over this prison. It had the worst reputation of all the prisons. At least that's what it was known for, the most hardened criminals. And he took it over, and 20 years later, when he was done, it was a totally different institution, and it had been dramatically changed, and people gave him credit for it. But whenever he was interviewed or asked about it, he gave credit to his wife, Catherine. And he said, my wife took on this group of prisoners, and they were a pretty hardened bunch, as a mission field, and she showed them kindness consistently. And when there was a prison basketball game, she marched her three little children and they went to the basketball game, and she cheered and encouraged. And when she found that one of the prisoners was blind, she went in and spent a great deal of time and taught him Braille so that he could read. And when she found there was a deaf prisoner, she went and learned sign language and taught him sign language so that he could communicate and not be as isolated. And so she spent years just pouring kindness into these prisoners. Now, she was killed in an auto accident in 1937. And the prisoners heard about it, and it was interesting. They all these hardened prisoners, you know, at least that was the way the world viewed them, all lined up at the gate, and they're like crying and they're grieving because almost all of them knew her personally. She had made an effort with them over the years. And the story goes that the jail, the warden, because of the love that she had poured into them and because of her kindness, that they actually let all the prisoners go to her funeral and pay their respects. And not one of them tried to escape or do anything. And in one version of the story I read, they didn't even have guards with them. And another story they did. So, but it was kind of an interesting, just the power of kindness, even on a person that you think is not as likely to respond. And so we want to plant kindness in our lives, and we want to hopefully reap it as well. You know, sometimes planting kindness is just not really saying anything. I think of the time where Jesus went and Jairus' daughter had died, and Jesus shows up, and here are all these mourners, and they mock Jesus. And he doesn't really rebuke them, and he goes in and he raises her from the dead. And my temptation, and I think, you know, if some of you are honest here, this might be your temptation to run the now living girl out among the mourners and kind of go, I told you so, you know, and kind of, you know, see, and because they laughed at him. And he doesn't do that. As a matter of fact, he just, you know, he's just kind of quiet about it. He says, you don't need to tell everybody. And he didn't rub it in their faces. And that's an opportunity where just saying nothing was kindness. And so sometimes that's what we need to practice. So if you have a sermon outline, if you got a bulletin, I actually just printed something off from a book I really liked called Love is a Way of Life. And it's kind of a page of kindness suggestions. How could you start? What are some acts of kindness that you could do? And if you look at that, I think it's the back of the sermon outline. And I guess I would just, for lack of a better term, you know, give you some homework or give you an action step. And that is to look over that list or make your own and think about, so how can I promote kindness in my life? How can I live kindness out? And that will give you a whole list of ideas on things that you can do with family or friends or coworkers. And so I want to close with this, a story from after the Korean War. There was a night watchman, and there was this little boy who was very hungry, and he's begging for food, and the watchman said, here's what I'm going to tell you to do. He said, this house, and he pointed to this particular house, and he said, that house over there, he said, I know about that woman. He said, if you show up and just say the word John 3:16 to her, she will help you. She will take care of you. And this little boy didn't know what John 3:16 was, didn't know, you know, anything about it. But, you know, he's this starving little kid, and he shows up to the house, and he says to her, well, the guard over here said to say John 3:16. And so the woman smiles at him and welcomes him in. You know, he didn't necessarily understand. You know, there was a bit of a communication gap. He didn't necessarily understand everything. But this woman smiled and loved on him. She fed him. She gave him a place to stay. And as he's, you know, he's looking at this and he's thinking it through, he said, you know, I don't know what it is about this John 3:16, but it caused me to be welcomed. And it brought about warmth when I was cold. And it filled a starving boy's belly. And most of you know John 3:16 simply says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16 is at the heart of our faith. It is the classic example of God's kindness to us. And we can turn around and offer kindness to others. And so this is absolutely crucial that we offer the kindness of God, the message of the cross, the hope that he offers that our sins can be forgiven, that we can have a different life here, and we can have an eternal life in heaven, all because of the kindness of God. That despite our rebellion, despite our sin, he offered us his love and his kindness. I was reading about some businessmen who were late to a plane, and they were running through the airport, and they accidentally knocked over this apple cart, you know, in this place, and they just barely made the plane. except one of the businessmen. He turned around, Christian guy, and he said, you know, I feel bad about it. We kind of knocked apples everywhere. And he went back, and it's this little blind girl running this thing. Apparently her family was, you know, kind of working on it. And he goes and he helps her pick up all the apples, and he pays for all the apples that were bruised and dropped on the ground, and even gave her some extra. And as he walked away, she called out to him. She said, "Are you Jesus?" And I love that, because in a harsh and sometimes painful and mean world, when we actually show kindness, we point people to Jesus Christ. You and I aren't going to do it perfectly, but it is our calling, and it's what's supposed to bubble out of our lives when the Holy Spirit is active. And so let's just pray. So let's bow our heads. Dear God, I thank you for the kindnesses that have been shown to us, each of us, maybe from parents, maybe from that teacher that believed in us, maybe from a neighbor who took care of our yard while we were on an extended vacation, maybe a friend who visited us in the hospital regularly. Lord, we thank you for the many faces of kindness. We acknowledge that it goes back to you, that it comes from your heart. Lord, help us to be people who represent that kindness in a harsh world. Lord, I ask your blessing on each person here. Help us to live out this part of our calling. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.